Let's read together Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 16. Here in this first half of Proverbs 22, we have some more Proverbs of Solomon, including one of the most quoted Proverbs. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, let's discuss this proverb for our background notes for this talk on Proverbs. When many people read this verse, they have problems because they say this Bible verse is not always true. So those folks who say it is always true come up with a number of reasons to explain the apparent exceptions. Let's list a few of these explanations. Number one, some people say that the proverb is not talking about the moral and spiritual character of the child. No, it has more to do with the individual child's interests and talents and abilities. Encourage and train the child in areas where he or she will succeed, and they will have that skill for life. Well, that explanation certainly makes sense and sounds good, but when the Apostle Paul begins to quote this proverb in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it is in the spiritual and moral area that he quotes it, not the area of interests and talents. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, or parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So Paul is beginning to quote Proverbs 22, verse 6 here. Notice, by the way, that he doesn't add, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Number two, another explanation that's given for the apparent exceptions to this proverb is to emphasize the when he is old phrase. It doesn't say when they are teenagers and young. No, just wait. They will come around to follow their good training when they are older. The problem with this explanation, of course, is that some teenage rebels never return. They go on to bigger problems. Broken marriages, dysfunctional families, denial of God, and worse. A third explanation for the so-called exceptions to Proverbs 22:6 is that we don't always have the whole story. The parents may look like they have their act together with their kids at church on Sunday, but they are not really training their children at home. They look good on Sunday, but the home is up for grabs for the rest of the week. The problem is not exceptions to the proverb, they say. It's that in the big picture, the parents are not really training the children up in the way that they should go. Once again, this explanation sounds good, but it has problems because there really are godly parents out there training their children in the right way. But some of these children turn away and do not respect authority, no matter how much proper training they receive. So what's the right answer here anyway? Well, all of the explanations we gave certainly apply. The best explanation is that Proverbs 22:6 is a proverb. A proverb is a general truth stated in general terms. Now, is it not generally true that children brought up in the right way to honor the Lord and to obey the Lord do become believers, and do go on and mature as believers? Yes, that's a general truth. Now let's look at the rest of the Proverbs in this section of Proverbs 22 under our doctrinal point. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Would you agree? A good name refers to character and reputation. This proverb is not saying that it is evil to be wealthy, but to have a good reputation and godly character is far better. Verse 2, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Social distinctions are man-made. We all came from the same Creator, and we all answer to the same Creator. The good news here is that God is just as much concerned about you and me as He is for the rich and the famous and the big names of world history. In application, We should not be showing favoritism to one person or group and overlooking another person or group. Verse 3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. This proverb is very practical and has a lot of applications. For example, those of us who experience water in our basements as a result of the recent rains, I assume are taking prudent steps for the next time around. But if we are naive, we just hope for the best and do it all over again when the rains return, and they will. This proverb obviously can be applied to salvation. If we are prudent, we will turn to Christ for salvation because God's judgment of sinners is coming. But those who do not heed the warning will suffer future punishment for their sins in hell. Verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. It's a package deal. If we honor the Lord and are humble, the Lord rewards us with riches, honor, and life. Now, in the Old Testament context, the riches did include material possessions and physical health. In the New Testament context, the rewards are better. Spiritual riches, which are eternal. Honor in heaven, for sure. And the abundant life now and eternal life for the future. Verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. You know, in the back of our house, I've cut a trail through the woods that I can use for walking exercise. The only problem is that there is a fast-growing thorn plant that keeps springing up and makes walking difficult and unpleasant. Well, that's the way it is in life for the perverse person. Remember, Proverbs 13, verse 15 said, the way of transgressors is hard. So what should the righteous do? Stay away from the pitfalls and snares and traps by staying away from the wicked and the ungodly and their ways. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2, 21. These things in this verse are the wicked and their ways. And you don't have to associate with the wicked to witness to the wicked. Verse 8, Proverbs 22:8. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. This proverb is not only affirming the biblical truth that you reap what you sow, but the phrase, the rod of his anger will fail, indicates that even the ability of the wicked to unleash their anger is limited. Verse 9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. The word generous here is literally a good eye in Hebrew. Now, are you a person that looks around to see what good you can do for others? Or do you have an evil eye that looks for how you can take advantage of others? If you have a good eye and are generous, you will be blessed. Verse 10. Cast out the scoffer, and contentions will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. You know, I knew a Christian man once who was Mr. Trouble with a capital T, no matter what church he attended. Finally, the Lord took him home to heaven early. Guess what happened? Contention and strife and quarreling stopped, just as the proverb indicates. Verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Why is the king willing to be a friend of a person like this? Because the king is looking for people he can trust and tell the truth. Think of Joseph and Pharaoh, as well as Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, for examples. Verse 12, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. I love the truth of this proverb, especially when reading authors and dealing with folks who don't accept the biblical accounts of creation and the flood and man's early history. Verse 12, once again, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. Verse 13, the lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Now, the point of this proverb is that the lazy person will come up with all kinds of ridiculous and absurd excuses to stay in bed and not go to work. Did you say that this sounds like your teenager's excuse to sleep in? Verse 14, the mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. The deep pit here is the hunter's trap, which was camouflaged to ensnare the unsuspecting animal. So is the speech of the seductress. Now, there is both the good news and the bad news in the last part of this proverb. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. The bad news is that if you've turned away from the Lord, you will fall into this trap. The good news is that if you have not turned away from the Lord, you can be preserved and protected from this sin. Verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. The rod of correction or discipline here, by definition, excludes child abuse. And the Hebrew phrase certainly includes more than spanking, but does not exclude spanking. The point is that there must be discipline of children and not just reasoning with children, because children are not basically good. They are basically prone to sin because we are all born with sinful natures. Verse 16, he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. According to this proverb, there are two ways to get rich that will generally boomerang in God's moral universe: to rob the poor or to try and buy off the rich. Many have tried both methods and ended up in poverty. The proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Now, what about practical application from this first half of Proverbs chapter 22? Stay out of debt. Stay out of debt. Verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, again, the Bible is not condoning these practices in this proverb, but that's the way it is. And many examples could be given, maybe from your own life and experience. Therefore, a good practical application from this proverb would be to stay out of debt. Now, the Bible is not teaching here that to borrow money is wrong. No, in fact, to make good investments is wise. Buying a home is generally a good investment and does not put you in debt because the house has value. But be careful. Buying depreciating items on time puts you into debt. And you are never really free if you are not debt-free. Would you agree? You're never really free if you are not debt-free. So stay out of debt.